Thanks for holding on that high and holding on, Alex. And we're in the middle of trying to understand the extent of the drushes that the Brisa at the beginning of the parak. It gave us the interrelationship between the various psukim in Achrimos and Kedoshim that relate to daughters and daughters from a wife and mothers of a wife. And we found that there's a complex interrelationship here in that we learn them all out of each other in various ways, so that we ended up with an understanding that we have an azhara for even though it doesn't appear in Achrimos, for the mother-in-law and the grandmother-in-law from both sides. And we end up having an onesh, which also isn't mentioned before, but which we learn out to the Isha Obita from the Pesukim in the Kedoshim. Now, one of the problems that we raised yesterday, we're going to raise more today, is that the raya that we brought, that the halakha of one's own daughter and granddaughter are also going to be learned out from the cases of the wife's daughter. So one of the questions that we had yesterday, if we're tying the Sefarim Kinekevot, the way that Abaya understood the meaning of Sefarim Kinekevot, is that his daughter is the same as the halakas of his wife's daughter. And this was the difference between Bitomi Anusato and Bitomi Ishto. So we were concerned that if that's the case, we should also say that there's a relationship between grandmothers of a wife and grandmothers of the male. The same way that we said there's a relationship between daughters of a male and daughters of a wife. And there yesterday, and we know that that's not true, we know that a grandmother is only a shnia. So there we had a machlokas yesterday between Abaye and Rava as to whether we have a beferish pasuk that tells us not to make that drasha from the Imchahi, or according to Rava, who holds that when a limud breaks down and it doesn't seem to be consistent within the general rules of don mino umino, or in terms of the general rules of don mino bukevatra, either way, that means that the limud is an ineffective limud and we can't use it at all. So he proved to us yesterday that we end up with internal contradictions if we apply such a limud. And therefore, in either case, whether you hold domino mino, you hold domino bukibatra, and whether you hold skila is chamura, whether you hold sreif is chamura, you end up with fewer or more breakdowns in the limud itself. Therefore, an inconsistent limud is not meant to be applied at all. That's Rabbi Shita, and he doesn't need, therefore, the pasuk that Abaya brought us yesterday of Imchahi. Now today we have a repetition of the same idea, the machlokas Abaye v'Rava, as to whether we need to be motzi miklal, the drasha that the Braisa made, or whether the very fact that the application of the rules of Don Mina will land up with an internal inconsistency, and that's enough for us to be dota. And today, the issue revolves around not grandmother, and not the male that we learn from the female, but rather daughter-in-laws and the female that we learn from the male. And therefore our question today is, we should say, if we're going to say that males and females are equivalents, so yesterday we discussed that we learn out males from females, but by the same token we have to learn out females from males, in which case we end up with the following problem. Because we should say, and now we're holding in the Adaf Ayin Vav Amad Aleph, and we start over here at the very end of five lines down. Imahu kalato asura api kalata asura. Why don't we therefore say, just like the Torah told us that there's an iser of a daughter-in-law, and this is with a male's own son's daughter, but if we're comparing now relationships through a male's wife, so then api kalata asura, we should say that a man's wife's daughter-in-law, which is not his daughter-in-law because it isn't his son, it was her son from a previous marriage, and now he goes in and gets married, the previous, the current husband of that wife should now be usher on his daughter-in-law through his wife. And that is not the case. The halacha is, as we saw earlier, that Eshet Chorgo, a stepson's daughter, wife, which is what we're talking about over here, is actually mutter to his stepfather, assuming that the sons don't want to marry to her. But it's not an erva. What do you do with that? So we seem to be pointing out that there's a problem over here in the assumptions of the, what we're learning from what? Because we said yesterday we're going to learn the Zachar from the Kavas, according to Abaye. Omar Abaye, the meaning over here is still, as I said, we learn out Zachar from the Kavas, meaning all of the male relatives and the female relatives and vice versa. The reason that this is not a problem and why there is no Isra on a son and on a stepson's wife is because the Pharisee Pasuk, again, that's Motzi it. This is a bias consistent with the Svar of yesterday, that requires a Pasuk to be Motzi, and it doesn't say that we don't apply Donina. Markra Eshet Bin Chagi. Why does the Torah repeat Eshet Bin Chagi? To tell me that you're never Chayav on a daughter-in-law unless it's your real son. Mishum Eshet Bin Cha Atam Mechayvo. V'i Atam Mechayvo Mishum Eshet Bina. You're only Chayav on a daughter-in-law who is your own son's wife, not your wife's son's wife. Rava Amar, Rava says, there's no need for any psukim. Again, the inconsistency that would show up if we attempted to learn out the female from the male in this case is enough to cancel the limud. Because bein lamandi amar don mina umina. And bein lamandi amar don mina vuki batra lo atse. This is not going to work out consistently whether you hold that don mina umina, meaning that whenever we learn out something, we apply also the details from the source. Or whether you hold don mina vuki batra, meaning when we learn out something, we only learn out the basic halakha, but we apply the values of all of the parameters suggested in that halakha according to the values that are supplied in the application and not the place that we learned the application from. It's not going to work, and I'll show you why not. Now let's start with the Mandiyomer who holds that we learn out all of the dinim and all of the values from one source, okay? So this is what we would conclude. We would say, you want to learn that mahu kalata asura afinami kalata asura, correct? Okay, now, let us apply the details here, okay? Umina, I mean, you're saying we have to apply all the details, take it from the source. The source is him. What's the din of a daughter-in-law to a man? Mahu biskila afinami biskila. Now, that would mean that in the same way that if he sleeps with his daughter-in-law, he's chayav skila, if he sleeps with his stepson's wife, he'd also be biskila, right? Okay, now that doesn't work, and I'll show you why. If you hold, let's start with the man yomer hold skila chamura. If you hold that skila is more chamur than sreifa, then there's an obvious question on this. It's inconsistent to learn it out, because he can limit b'malahu shukeni mo biskila. Of course, we say that his own daughter-in-law is chamur. But that's because his relatives in general, the Torah is being machmerayim. So by him, his mother is biskila. Now, her mother is only bisrefa. If you learn that skila is chomer, that's a problem. And if that's the case, maybe the reason that his daughter-in-law is more chomer is because of the general chomer that we find by him. But tomar behi, are we therefore going to say that the limudim that are applied over here to her from him? So what would we say? We would say that ima now should be skalata should be on him biskila. I mean, even ima is only bisrefa, so therefore it's inconsistent. And I ask you, the od bita bisrefa v'kalata biskila. I mean, there's also another internal inconsistency in such a thing. Let's say you would even say it. Is it possible to say that sleeping with her daughter would be Machayev Yisrefa, which is less chamur, but sleeping with her daughter-in-law would be Machayev Yisrael, which is more chamur? Does that make sense? What do you mean, does that make sense? Well, if it doesn't make sense, how are you going to explain the same phenomenon occurring in his own daughter and daughter-in-law? If he sleeps with his daughter, he's Machayev Yisrefa. If he sleeps with his daughter-in-law, he's Machayev Yisrael. So then so it's a little bit absurd to ask that question. I mean, that's a given, that halakha is a given. If you view that as an inconsistency, then you've got an inconsistency in all halakha. I mean, so clearly we understand that there are other elements involved in the son's wife that in fact may be gorim or bebegachia. I mean, what's the problem? There's other issues besides blood sharing in incest. or at least in Arias. So therefore, that's not a question. Okay, fine, but here's a question. I'll show you. Okay, let's say like this. So first let's finish that inside. You can't answer that, because the case of his own daughter versus his own daughter-in-law will prove that that's not true, because bitobis reifa v'kalatobis kilah. His own daughter is a chiyav of Sreifa, whereas his own daughter-in-law is a chiyav of Skila. So find yourself a better inconsistency. Okay, fine, okay. Elamahu lo chilaktabo beni molachalato. I'll show you an inconsistency. Just like by him, we have not distinguished between the chiyav that he would be chayav on his mother and on his daughter-in-law. And remember, those are the makoros of the limudim, correct? The dinim of mothers over here is essentially what the Pesukim are revolving around. So, if the Torah says that he's chayav for sleeping with his mother, Skila, and he's chayav for sleeping with his daughter-in-law, Skila, okay? So, if that's the case, afhi lo tachalok ba beni malachalata. Now, the same thing should be true with her. You should have to say that there should be no difference between the chayav on her mother and the chiyuv on her daughter-in-law, and he should be chayv the same thing. I mean, how does that make sense? It's not, what do you mean, it's the same thing? It's not going to be the same thing, because if we're all domino mina, then we're going to have to apply skila. And even if you say laman yomer sreifa chamur, okay, one old sreifa is more chamur, you can't ask the first question and say, well, maybe that's the reason, because we're being machmer skila on him, because he's chayav on his mother for skila and so on. Okay, fine. Since it's a this chomer, you still end up with an eternal inconsistency. If you hold domina umina, explain to me how you're going to apply domina umina. You're going to say, okay, we're going to apply the halacha of his din on his daughter-in-law, which is a chayav of skila. Okay, fine. How about looking at it this way? We're going to apply the din found by his daughter-in-law, which is that it should be the same as his mother. Now let's apply that to her. Huh. So then you come out with Sreifa, because her mother is a chiyavanim of Sreifa. But I thought you have to apply domino and we know that it's the skila. So no matter how you look at it, you're going to end up either with one being inconsistent or the other one being inconsistent. If you hold that skila is more common, the whole thing doesn't work out because you have a question on the basic limud. But either way, you cannot have this limud, okay? Now, so if you hold nam yom sefer chamur, at least me, I kush, from this latter question, lo nidoni. Now let's take a look at the other option. You hold that nam yom rose, don mina v'uki batra. Okay, let's start the limud. I'll show you that doesn't work out either. Here's how it would go. Well, how interesting. We find that the Torah is compared the Zecharim to the Nekevot. Well, Mahu Kalato Asura, so that means just like his own daughter-in-law is Asur, so therefore, so too shall the daughter-in-law of his wife be Asur. Okay? Fine. What's the din? Well, the din is Uki Batra. The halacha is that we have to provide with it the same values to the various parameters, one of which is, what's the onesh? Okay? Well, we look to being consistent with the application. Okay, the application is that although with him his daughter-in-law is b'skila, but of course, aval hacha, we have to say, all right, the value for the parameter called what misa is, must be b'sreifa, because, I mean, kiryashkan b'ima, right? We have to apply the normal values found in the case we're applying it to. In this case, we're applying it to her, and her family, the relationships are sreifa. I'm not happy. You want to cancel these 45 minutes of your life? All right, I'll show you what's wrong with that. If you hold that skila is more chomer, so then the question is obvious. If yelamirpas ma'lahu shekein imo b'skila, I mean, it makes sense to apply the din of a daughter-in-law to him where his mother is b'skila, tomar b'hishi ima b'sreifa. You're going to apply the same halacha on a wife where sleeping with her mother would only be makayv sreifa. Furthermore, v'od, mahu chilaktabo bein bito l'chalato. Now we have to be consistent. You're saying we're going to learn out Don minavu kibatra. Very good. But what's the don minav part? The ikra halakha. The ikra halakha is that when it comes to a male, his mother and his daughter-in-law are the same. That's the same as the Torah says. Now you want to apply it to a female, but you're stuck with the din of avu kibatra. So then, I'm sorry, what did I say? We're going to say that his daughter and his daughter-in-law represent two distinct chiyuvim by him. Because his daughter is the Sreifa, and his daughter-in-law is the Skila. Okay, so now we have to apply it to her. Af'i, tachalok ba'vein bitalachalata. Then we would have to say the same thing with her, that we have a distinct iser on a wife's daughter-in-law that cannot be confused with the wife's daughter. So, that doesn't work, right? Because we're going to have to apply the dinim, namely the values, to the question of which misa according to the laws of the wife. But then we're going to end up with a different halakha than by him, because if we're going to apply the correct din of misa, which is sreifa, then we're going to be left with the same halakha on both. Well, aman di amar nami sreifa chamura, same misa on both. So, and if your whole sreifa is chamura, so then still you have this last problem, the hakusha. Lo nidoni. So, memela tainas rava, you've got no problem that demands a limud from a pasuk to tell me that a wife's daughter-in-law is muteret for her husband. Now, getting back to the list that we have in the Mishnah, one of the cases that we have was, we gave a group of three: your daughter, your granddaughter through your son, and your granddaughter through your daughter. Now there's a little bit of a problem with this, because what the Torah does say is, Ervat bat bincha o bat bitcha, never mentions bitcha. So how do we know that a daughter is usher? Maybe only a granddaughter is usher. Now, we know your wife's daughter is usher, right? Because it says, Ervat isha ubita. There it says, Beferish lo tegaleh, and bat benal v'bat bita. There it says, Beferish, they're all included. But by your own daughter, who is not your wife's daughter, so it's the daughter of a woman that you never married, so bito me'anusato, how do we know that she is usher? Well, what do you mean? Omer Abaye, Kavachomer. Omer Abaye says it's a Kavachomer. He said, Al bat bito anush, al bito lo kol shekein. I mean, if you're going to get punished for your granddaughter, who is only related to you through your daughter, so, I mean, kol shekein, you'll be punished for your daughter. Well, yes, that makes sense, but I thought we have a general rule that you cannot give someone a chiyuv in the Torah unless the Torah says so, not because logic dictates. So how can you give him an onesh for this? Says Abaye, this is not a din. This is not a kavachomer. It's a givui milta b'alma. It's just, I'm simply uncovering what's in front of you. If you want to know what a case would be of an unction min adin, I'll tell you. Where the Torah says, don't sleep with your sister, who is your father's daughter. And don't sleep with your sister, who is your mother's daughter. So now, I ask you, how about if she's both my mother's daughter and my father's daughter? It's a kal v'chomer. Now that is a kal v'chomer. It's not a gilui milta. The reason that this is a gilui milta and not a kal v'chomer is because the granddaughter is only related to you because of your daughter. So she's simply extending your daughter. Masha Enkei, the definition of a sister, you're right, it's even a better sister, but that's a kal v'chomer. It's a different relationship. It's not that I'm going through one to get to the other one. So over there, I know Eino Nashim and Adin, and that's the marker, in fact, of Eino Nashim and Adin. Yes?
So there's an easier way to think about it, sort of like two inheritance? Because certainly, if you think of the first example, father's daughter, mother's daughter, it doesn't affect the inheritance.
Okay. If you're looking for metaphors, but in this case, the metaphor is confusing. Okay. It makes more sense to just stick with what it's saying, because there's other issues that are involved there. So therefore, says Abaya, I don't understand what the problem is. Rava, this is the same limud that we had earlier. Rava Amar, Amarli Rav Yitzchak Bar Vladimi, Asya Hena Hena, Asya Zima Zima, the famous limud in which the Torah, although it doesn't say Zima Beferush on the din of the Bitomi Anusatel, but it does say She'era Hena, which we learn out, Zima Yi, She'era Hena, Zima Yi, we learn out from Zima that is said by the mother-in-law in Kiddushin. And therefore we apply that back to the wife's daughter, in Akremos, through Zima Zima. And then since it says She'era together with Zima, and it also says She'era by the case of his own daughter, we're now left with a limud from a Levan, because there it says, Ki Ervatcha Hena, and we compare that Hena to the She'era Hena Zimahi, and then we learn out the Zimahi from the Zima Be'esh Yisrafun from Chamato. That's the same limud that we had yesterday, and from it we learn out, the same way we learn out the Onesh, we learn out yesterday we talked about the Azara, we learn out the whole thing from there. Abu the Rebbe Avin says, Etani, in the Brisa, Lefisha lola madnu lebito me'anu sato. No. In fact, we have no basis for answering your own daughter. That is exactly why the Torah, instead of saying ubat kohen, kitachel is not, it says ubat ish kohen. Why does it say bat ish kohen? What's wrong with just saying a bat kohen? So bat ish kohen comes to tell me that a normal man, in other words, who's not even an ish, so ki techel is not et avia, instead of ki techel is not et avia hi mechalelet, but rather, read this as two separate issues. A bat kohen, ki techel is not et avia hi mechalelet, but a bat ish, ki techel is not et avia, a man's daughter who is sinning with her father, so then there's a chiyuv be'esh yisrafun. So there's two separate limudim in this pasuk. Well, wait. But we know that that pasuk means that only she is b'sreifa. So why don't we say that the remez of this pasuk to ish also would mean only she is b'sreifa, but not the father? So we should say ima bat kohen he b'sreifa ve'ein bo'ala b'sreifa. We should say that the same thing would be true of the father who is mezana with his daughter. She would be chayav in sreifa, but the father would not be chayav in sreifa. Omer Abaye says Abaye the pasuk says et avia hi mechalelet. It's only misha mechalelet et avia. The only time we say that is where she is a bat kohen who is now being mechalel her father. But yatstazu she'avia mechalalta. Over here, that doesn't apply, because over here it's the father who's sleeping with her that's being mechalal her. So that part that is miyachid her, the sreifa, specifically excludes the case of the remez to the father in general. Rava says you don't need to come on to that. Bishlema hatam. Look, in the case of a bat kohen, afikte midina the bat kohen, the Torah has indeed excluded her from the, excluded him from the special din of a bat kohen, which is the sreifa, and where does it put him? It's put him into the general category of menachim with married women. She's a married woman, this bat kohen. So the din over there is that he's chayev, like any other man who sleeps with a married woman, who wouldn't be a bat kohen. So ukim ta'adina the bat Yisrael. It's the same as a bat Yisrael. He's chayev chenek, and everything is fine. It's like any other eshetish. But in this case, if we're going to exclude the Boel, who is in this case the father, from the chiyav that's on her, we're going to put him where? She's not married. So we're going to say, well, it's just like sleeping with any other unmarried girl. We'll kill the daughter, but the father can go happily walking down the street. But that's crazy. So because we know the general rule is that there's the same chiyav on women as on men, and on men as on women, whenever they're jointly involved in incest. So therefore, what are you going to tell me, says Rava? Over here, Adina de Man Mukmitla. Who are you going to put him on now? In what category? Adina de Pnuya Mukmitla. Well, are you going to make him now the same as if he had slept with a Pnuya, which is not even a Piyas? Okay, now we've established that bitomi anusato is a chiev of misa. Hazhara le bitomi anusato minai. But where does the Torah answer sleeping with a daughter? Remember that it doesn't give an onish in the Torah unless it specifically told you that you mustn't do that.
She also chayav misa, the daughter.
Always. Whenever one is chayav misa, the other is chayav misa. So bishlema le'abaye v'rova. According to Abaye v'rova, this is a meaningless question. Because Abaye says, bito is the same as bat bito, as a gilui milsa. That would be true both in the Azara and in the Yonis. There's no question. According to Rava, asya heina heina asya zima zima. And however we learned out the Yonis, we learn out all of the dinim. You mustn't do it, and if you do do it, this is what your chiyav is. Okay, that's fine. So mehech le natkalu la onesh, mehatam natkalu azara. But if you're going to go according to the Tana, what Abu Ad Rabbi Ovin said from the Braisa, that the Torah said, Ubat ish kohen ki tefer liznot, ba'esh tisareth. Where does it say it's usher? It just says ba'esh tisareth. So how does he know that it's usher? My, what are you going to say? Omar Rabbi Allah, I learned that out from a different pasuk. It says, Al tekhalel et bitcha lahaznota. Don't put your daughter into a position that you are mechalel her with zlut, which for pashtus, I mean, the most obvious position is that you actually go out and sleep with her. So mainly, it is prohibited to sleep with a daughter because you are being mechalel ta zlut. Just think of my, wait a second, everybody, Matzke, Flor, Rabbi Yaakov, Achud, Rachav, Yaakov, Hi, Alta, Kalil, Abitchal, Azon, Talach, what are you trying to tell me? That that's what we use that pasuk for? Everybody knows the drushes that we use that pasuk for, and it's not this one to tell me an Azhara to sleeping with the daughter. Homi, why are they looking at Tanya? We need it for the famous limud in the Braisa that says, Alta, Kalil, Abitchal, Azon, Talach, what is the meaning of the pasuk? Not to cheapen your daughter by giving her over into prostitution. You might think this means a Kohen who allows his daughter to be so cheapened as to marry a lady. That's out and out prostitution. That may be what you think, because I mean that's the pshat to be mechala. We always find to be mechala in terms of a Kohen. Don't you Kohen get any strange ideas in here either. So Talmud Lomar, no, lahaz no da. Come on. It says over here, that's why it mentions in prostitution. I mean, it's like, if it's talking about stam b'chilul, then it wouldn't have mentioned in prostitution, which it says lahaz no da. So it's got, I mean, l'chalalah. Why does it say lahaz no da? It's dafka b'chilul sh'biznuta katu b'daber. It's got to be talking about something in which you're not dealing with a marital situation. So therefore, we've got to be talking about what? That b'moser, at Bito, Shalola Shemishut. It's talking about someone who takes money for his daughter to sleep around. So that's what I have no doubt. So he arranges for a special relationship, but not a marital one. So that's called Laznota. This would put an end to the Gisha business. Says the Gemara, true, it does mean that, but that doesn't preclude our using the same pasuk to tell me an azhara for sleeping with a daughter. Because if that's all it wanted to say, it could have said al tachel. Why did it say al tachalel? Al tachalel is mashmatate. So shma min atate, we learn out both things. First of all, an isser, in allowing a relationship with someone, with your daughter, not for marital purposes, and the other is sleeping with one's daughter. So wait, so according to Abaye v'Rava, what's the extra lamed? Because according to Abaye v'Rava, we know the azhara for sleeping with a daughter, either from Asya Hina Hina Asya Zima Zima for Rava, or according to Abaye, the Gilui Milsav, it's like a Kal v'Chomer and better. That if you're usher on a granddaughter, you're Koshkin usher on a daughter, so then we don't need the Alta Kalel, the extra Lamed. What do they use that for? So Alta Kalel at Bikhala has no ta, according to Abaye v'Rava, my Abdile, what do they use it for? Omar Rebbe, Omar Rebbe money, Zehamatiyat Bitova Zakin. It's talking about over here somebody who takes a good offer from an old geezer for his young daughter, and essentially what he's done is he's locked up a woman who's dying for physical satisfaction, putting it together with an old man who can't satisfy her, which in the end is going to drive her to znut. And therefore it says, La znuta. So zeh ha-masih et pito le-zaken. Rabbi Akiva Omer. Rabbi Akiva says, zeh ha-masheh pito bogeret. This is somebody who doesn't want his daughter to get married. So what he does is he keeps her around so that he can live vicariously in her znus. And he enjoys her sleeping around. Omer of Kahana, Mishum Rabbi Akiva, is a different type of masheh bito bogeret. That in lecha ani b'Yisrael ela rasha arom v'hamasheh bito bogeret. Now, I think I'm going to clarify this because the words don't seem to make sense. You don't have a poor man unless he's a rasha arom. Okay, we're going to see what that means momentarily. But a masheh bito bogeret in this context, in which it relates to aniyut, we will see means somebody who can't afford a maid, and therefore he figures he'll keep his daughter around the house, she'll do the housework for him, and why should she get married? She can work for him better. And in that case, in order to save money, we're going to end up having a marja bitobo gerek, which will drive her to znut. Asks the Gemara, well, why are those two categories? I mean, a guy who is being masheh bitobo gerek, he's not a rasha arom. No, he's pretending, I can't find anybody good enough for you. This is not for you. You know, we'll find something better. And he keeps putting it off. So then, I mean, that's a rasha arom. I mean, he's sneaky. He's pretending he's really interested in her. But really, all he wants is to get the use of her work. Omer Abaye, you missed the language is misleading. Hoki Karma, what it means here is Ezehu ani Rasha Arom. There's lots of cases of Rasha Arom. And the Gemara talks about other cases of Rasha Arom. But the only case in which the Rasha Arom specifically would apply to a poor man is a guy who is so poor he can't afford a maid. And therefore he wants a daughter as a maid. So Zeh HaMasheh Bito Bogeret, in this case we have specific application of Rasha Arom. He keeps his daughter around for his own purposes. Be very careful when people have hidden ulterior motives and they're giving you all kinds of sagacious advice. Somebody who marries off his daughter to an old man, or vice versa, somebody who marries a mature woman to his young son. And Tosis points out, even though, we're going to see later, it really talks about it a little bit later, but Sergei here, even though there is no din of a father being makabel kiddushin for a son, so it doesn't really make sense, but a katan, if it means literally katan, and we'll see later that it does mean literally katan, that nonetheless, it's not considered to be a znut. So in other words, if it's valuable for a father, which has happened many times in Jewish history, where they would take unmarried people to the army at early ages, and so on. So it was common to marry children off at 12 or 11, and that way they wouldn't have to go to the army. So there's no iser in having a sexual relationship that is defined as marriage, because you called it marriage. So there's no, you can't create a real marriage between your not-of-age son and a woman, but nonetheless you can create an arrangement which will function like marriage and which is mutter. And then when he grows up, he'll be old enough to make kiddushin. So if it's a valuable thing for whatever purposes, then there's nothing wrong with that. It's not considered to be znuts. And the Gemara says that if you write a ksuva for such a relationship, the ksuva is in fact a valid ksuva. And it's not just a phony document. It's a real ksuva. So in such a case, however, you got another problem. Because since your choice over here was a mature woman, and your son's not going to be able to satisfy as a little boy a mature woman, so therefore you're going to end up creating a matzav in which that's not going to work. She's going to go out to find satisfaction elsewhere. V'amachzira aveda lekuti, or somebody who gives back a aveda that he finds to a non-Jew. Allah HaKatuv Omer, that's where the Torah, what the Torah was referring to in the Torah, in the opening of the issues of Tokoch Laman Sfot Haravat Atzbeah Lo Yoveh Hashem Seloach Lo. A guy who is Sofer Ravat Atzmeah. Now that has many meanings. Rava means something that's satisfied, and Atzmeah is something that is thirsty. So there's many different levels to that. But this man somehow wants to put together that which is satisfied with that which is thirsty. Okay. So if he puts together his daughter, who is thirsty for sex, with an old man who is satisfied, then that lo yoveh Hashem Seloach, or God will not forgive him, because he's not providing for his daughter's sexual satisfaction. And vice versa, if he's marrying his son, who is too young to keep his wife satisfied, so it's the same thing. He's taking something that is satisfied, meaning that is not full of desire yet, and giving it to someone who is thirsty. God will not forgive him. If he wants to take a goy and give him back the wallet that he found, that goy is a satisfied person. He looks for nothing in his life. And he wants to compare something which is satisfied to people who are thirsty for God and for knowledge and for meaning. And he puts them together and he says, well, it's all, you know, it's just morality. You find money, you return the money. Thinking that that's the way human beings should be. Just be moral. Instead of recognizing that it's only God's commandment that demands your responsiveness. So he's so fair about Tzmeah, God will not forgive him, because he's reducing human behavior to feelings rather than to Hashem's vision of reality. No, stealing is taking, not finding. What's the matter? Everything you need to learn, you learn in kindergarten. Finder, keeper.
Yeah,
loser, reaper.
But if you find the wallet of the Melchri, you're forbidden to return it to him?
You're cursed if you return it to him.
Really?
According to this. Yeah, now let's talk about this a little bit.
Okay.
Let's talk about this a little bit. Well, let's talk about that also. Okay. Right, so first of all, we have the pshat that I just gave you was Rashi's pshat. And Rashi holds that Kuti over here refers to a non-Jew, essentially.
And Steinfeld has it Nochri.
Okay. But it could also be Nochri, but it's not an Akum. That's important to put it. So the problem that Rashi has with it is the assertion of morality. And morality is a very dangerous thing to play with, because morality justifies anything at all. And humanism, we know, has been the source of the worst of sins. I mean, it can even lead you to merit, and so on. So, but the problem is that according to the Rambam, we have no objection of acting in a way where it can be rationally defended as moral. So if it's good for the social structure, so on and so forth, it's okay to do such a thing. Therefore, according to the Rambam, the only application of the Gemara would be where you're actually giving this back to an Akum. If you're giving it back to an Akum, you're not allowed to do good things for Akum. You're not allowed to do anything that's supportive for Akum. So that would be an Isser Mamish. And there it kicks in with Dr. Feinstein just mentioned, which the Rambam says, nonetheless, if we're talking about a case in which doing so leads to people's appreciation of Jews as being faithful, Bale, Emunah, and so on, then it's okay to do such a thing. In fact, it may even be a mitzvah to do such a thing. And certainly in a case where it would cause a Chilul Hashem, and it may turn out that people will find out that you had it, knew about it, and didn't return it, like a mistake in your bank statement for that extra $1 million, and well, it's gone already, you know, because I ended up keeping it. The bank's mistake. So over there would actually be usher to keep it. So this is a very important machlokus that we have. We're getting closer and closer to Hasata around here. They pick this up off the internet in this country.
Why is there a violation of Rashur Mitzvahs being Noach Mishpatim? It's supposed to make the Mishpatim.
For the Benoach or for you?
You said morality, you can't.
Because the Rambam.
The Mitzvahs being Noach.
Yes,
the Rambam. The morality, in their way, for the Akum.
first, there's a number of levels in your question, and you've mushed them all together. All right, so the correct comparison would be for a Ben Noach who keeps the Ben Noach mitzvahs out of morality. Okay, that the Rambam actually, the Pharisee says, that doesn't work. He's not considered to be Shomer Mitzvahs B'nai Noach because of morality. It has to be because of the Tzivay and Har Sinai, otherwise who cares about morality? Okay, so that would be the correct application. However, your further question that you're being Merami's to is that if, and this by the way is a machlokes achronim in the sheet of the Rambam, assuming that dinim by Ben Noach means mishpatim, as the Rambam holds, there's a major machlokes whether those mishpatim need to be based on the mishpatei Hashem, or whether those mishpatim are correctly based on the social contract, and therefore could be based on precedent and civil common law and so on. So what you're asking is, assuming that it's the latter, then why wouldn't it be included? And the answer is, it would, for Akum to an Akum. But for a Jew to therefore apply it to him, still wouldn't necessarily be meaningful. At least that's what Rashi, I mean, Rashi, of course, the comparison with Rashi could break down on any one of these levels. But this is a rather fundamental Rashi, this idea. That it's called Ravan Tzmeya. It's a beautiful, beautiful thing, Ravan Tzmeya. And, this, by the way, it reminds me of a beautiful pirush in the Pashtus of the Pasuk, that I believe is from the Akedat Yitzchak, which is Laman Svota Ravat Tzmeya, that when a person makes these choices, he's going to end up taking the things that he cares about and making them the things that he doesn't even think about anymore. So the things that were Tzmeya once, he's going to throw the whole thing. Rava will become everything. Basically, who cares? It becomes apathetic. As the Pshat L'man Tzvot Ravat Tzmeya. Meisvei. Ha'ohevet ishtok gufo. Someone who loves his wife the same way he loves his own body. In other words, whatever consideration that he gives to his body, he gives to his wife's. And he now will be mechabeder. Here, mechabeder means to provide for her kavod. In other words, how she looks, the things that she's wearing, the jewelry that she has. So he provides for her even more than he'll provide for himself. So maybe he'll buy himself a suit only once every 5 years, but he'll buy his wife a dress 10 times a year. And he keeps dealing with his children to get them into a path that is straight. And he marries them, now samuch lepirkan means, while they're prepubescent, so that they never get sexually hung up. Alava katuv omer, on such a person it says v'yadata ki shalomu alecha ufakata navecha v'lo techta. You shall know that your house is peaceful, and then you will be at home in it, and you won't end up sinning. So now here it's saying that it's important to give your children experience with sex while they're prepubescent. But the problem is, if you do that, then the woman that you married them to is going to be pretty unhappy. I mean, I, you know what it says over here. I mean, you could take a woman who knows how to turn your son on. You want to give him experience. But what's she going to do? You just said that that's utter, that Hashem will not forgive someone for doing that. And here you're saying it's the right thing to do. Make up your mind. Answers the Gemara. So move up your kanshine. Over here we're talking about he's prepubescent. Fine, so what is he, 12 and a half years old? So she can't hold on for a couple of months till he reaches puberty. Okay, she'll hold on. We were talking about a long-term problem. You marry off a child at 7, right? What's she going to do for the next 6 years or so, right? So there it's a problem, but for a few months we don't view it as a problem. Tana Rabbana, and here's what Tosfos said, that you see that it means literally before the age of Gadlut, in which case it's a question whether, like with Mashmah, that a father can marry off a son who is a Kotzah. And isn't that a problem? Because there's no provisions for such a thing in the Torah. And that's what Tosfos says. There may not be provisions, but it's still okay. It's not that we have Kinyanim, the Kinyanim will come later. Tana Rabbana. Ha'ohev et shcheinav, somebody who loves his neighbors. Ha'mekarev et krovav, and he brings his family close. Ha'noseyet bat achoto, and he marries his niece. Ha'malvez selah la'ani b'shat dochko, and he lends money to a poor man who's in a bad situation, and you think, oh, he's never going to get to pay this back. He's about to go bankrupt. That's when you got to lend him and help him. On such a person, alav ha'katuv omer, Az tikrav Hashem ya'aneh, when you call, God will answer. Now, this is a very strange situation in that marrying a niece, Rabbi Yehuda HaChassid assers in his tzava. And there were actual shaylos that have come up during the course of the diaries. But if somebody was mocked on the tzava of Rabbi Yehuda HaChassid, and he wants to marry his niece, and there were actually mice in the families of Gedalim that this happened to. There's a big tshuva from the Shevet Levi on it. I mean, what do you do? The Gemara says it's a big mitzvah, and Rabbi Yehuda HaChassid says it's a problem, and they pass in to listen to the Gemara. either he was only, this is the famous tzak of Rabbi Yehuda HaChassid was on, the Tzavos Rabbi Yehuda HaChassid was only to his own family, and it was special when Yonim, it wasn't meant to be a general application, it was what he recognized they needed. Or maybe he's pointing out issues that are problems, and it's a problem, but a Talmud Chacham, somebody who's going to be Mekayim, Divrei Chazal, and so on and so forth, it overcomes the problem, so you don't have to be Kosher. But it's Tzavamish interesting, we have a direct hiknakshut between the Inyanim of Chassidus and Inyanim in the Gemara.
And up till today, people do marry their nieces?
I've never heard of it.
I know.
You did?
Yes, they were a year apart. And they thought,
yeah. Very sweet.
I also know a couple.
Really?
Married his niece.
Lovely.
They don't have the offset.
Yes.
Sephardim don't have the pharmacist.
Ah, right. These are Sephardim?
Yeah.
Uh huh. Okay. And you were? Was it Sephardim or Ashkenaz?
Oh, regular Ashkenaz.
Regular Ashkenaz. How about the no special Ashkenaz?
They wouldn't let you.
Tana Rabbanan. And at last we reach the issue that we had discussed at the very beginning of the sitting. Oto ve'etein. Who is being referred to in, this was the drush that we had originally with the opening Mishnah. The two women, are they your mother-in-law and her mother? Or is it just one woman? Your mother-in-law and the other woman is the woman that you married, namely your daughter. Now, we refer to an upcoming machlokas, Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva, and this is it. In the pasuk of Chamoto, it says, "Be'esh tisrufu oto ve'etein." Now, what does etein mean? Etein them. I mean, certainly it doesn't mean to burn your wife along with your mother-in-law. So, I mean, who's the etein? Said Rabbi Shmuel, "Oto ve'etachat me'em." The Rabbi Shmuel, just one of them. Etein is just a way in which we refer to one, and I'll show you that later, says Rabbi Shmuel. Rabbi Akiva Omer, no, etein means them. Otovet shtehem. Now, what are they arguing about? My binayim. Omer, by a mashmod dorshin iki binayim. So Rabbi says they're not arguing, really. They're just arguing about how to understand the meaning of the pasuk, in that Rabbi Shmuel savar otovet etein means otovet achat mehem. And the reason he says etein means echad is because the lashon yevani korim lachat hina, because unos is one, so hina is one in that sense. How do we know that a mother-in-law's mother is us? Well, that we learned from the drush that we discussed at the beginning of the parak. We learned it out from the daughter of the wife and the granddaughter of the wife in the application backwards, in both directions, from the zima. Rabbi Akiva says, no, Oto ve'etein is oto ve'etshtehen, and the aim chamoto is in fact hakativa. This is where it's written. That was why we had to explain the Mishnah. If we were going to say that it means two women that are beferish and the others are bichlali sha'ubita, is this according to Rabbi Akiva? Etein means two women, and that's the mashmaut dorshin. But there's no nafkamina l'halacha, of course. That's what Abai is saying. It's only a mashmut dorshin. Whereas Rava says, no, that makes a tremendous difference. The question here is the mother-in-law linked to the wife? That's the question. If it uses the Lashon of Etain, that it's saying only if both are alive is the relationship with a mother-in-law prohibited. Obviously, you're not going to burn the wife, but it means that a mother-in-law in the place where there is still a wife, she is a mother-in-law. But how about if the wife has died? Is there still a concept of a mother-in-law? Or is that like a wife's sister? Wife's sister, when the wife dies, the sister's mutter. So too, the wife's mother, when the wife dies, would the mother be muteret? Says Rabbi Yishmael, he says, well, all it says is chamoto over here, and it's not referring to a linkage of any kind. Etain simply means one. That's the mother-in-law. So chamoto liacha mita b'sreifa. I mean, why wouldn't she be like any other erva? Rabbi Akiva Savar. Rabbi Akiva says, no, it says etain, meaning that the Torah is linking the mother-in-law to the mother, to the wife. And therefore, a mother-in-law after the death of a wife is not an iser sreifa at all. It's Isura bi'alma. It would just be included in the Arur. We have Arur Shochevim Chotanto. It's still included. She's still Chotanto. It doesn't mean she's Muteret like it does by the sister where it says Bechaya. But there's no Chiyav of Sreifa. Shalom Aleichem.